If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello and welcome to the HP Podcast, your weekly video game podcast about video game news things. At this point, I don't know if it's a bit or if it's real that I can't ever get the intro nailed down. I'm Ben, and with me here today is Dave, the Canadian Stallion. I don't know. I think that's supposed to be Italian, but I mean, I'm not going to segregate people by their nationalities. So how you doing, Dave?
I'm good. I could be the Canadian raccoon. We got a lot of those around here.
Do you want to be a raccoon?
They're adorable. I love raccoons. They're just cute and mischievous, and like you can domesticate them if you really want to. And
yeah, they're trash.
Yeah, but they're just trying to get by, and that's true. They live in metropolitan areas, and that's what they have to work with. So
yeah, dude.
Yeah, I like raccoons.
Why do they live in the cities? Like they do
the trash panda. I think it's because the city used to be not a city, and they just didn't leave.
That's very deep, Brandon.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Yeah. The city used to be not a city. I mean, that's true. Pretty much every city that has ever existed or will ever exist used to not be a city.
I'm speaking facts.
I never thought about, but why only the raccoon? Like, there are so many other
squirrels.
Animals.
Squirrels are here. Pigeons are here, which is the same thing as a dove.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure. And everyone thinks they're filthy, but they're not that filthy. They're filthy because they're in the cities, not because they're inherently filthy.
Are pigeons and doves the same? Pigeons and doves are not the same thing.
Do you want to know what a dove is in a city?
What?
A pigeon.
Well, okay, fair enough. When I was a kid, not
a
even
dove
a kid.
Dove
like,
is a country pigeon.
Yeah. I've never seen a country pigeon, actually, now that I think about it.
That's what I'm saying. Think about it.
Oh, man. When I was like a teenager and thought I was funny, I would go on vacations with like my parents and stuff. And I would chase ducks around.
Yes.
But they weren't ducks. They were pigeons. And my parents at one point were like, actually, like, you know those aren't ducks, right? I was like, yeah, I'm chasing the ducks, though.
Dude, I got bit by a fucking duck at SeaWorld once when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah, it was traumatic.
Do you guys have geese down there? The really nasty ones that attack you?
The Canada geese?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. We have them all over. Their necks are perfect for strangling. I wish we could. They're just they're so foul, no pun intended. Their necks are just long and cylindrical. It's just like they're asking for hands to grab them.
They nest in really weird areas. So, like, I was driving in a shopping complex yesterday, and there was one nesting on, like, this tiny little 3-foot boulevard between the driveway that goes from the road into the parking lot. And it was hissing at every car as it went by. It was like a drive-by hissing. And that actually had a little sign that somebody had put up, like the city had put up, that said, geese nesting, beware. So yeah. It's like they don't remove it. It just stays there and you got to deal with it. So
yeah, they're a vicious lot. I don't want to typically strangle animals, but just because they're so vile at points. And if you look in the inside of that thing's mouth, you will be traumatized. It is like an actual horror show. When they open their mouth fully, it's something I can never unsee.
A friend of mine got bit by a swan one time.
Oh my God.
And it was not only traumatic, but also caused a lot of damage.
Now that's
traumatic,
a lot of damage.
Emotionally and physically. I didn't even know that swan were aggressive.
I know, dude.
I wanted to say swans there, but I'm pretty positive it's swan. And the plural of swan is swan.
They're just swan. As aggressive as geese. In fact, I think this is the dove pigeon thing, pretty much. But we look at them differently because they're elegant and beautiful. But I think they're the same thing. And they're just getting away with it because they're country geese. But
fucking birds,
they
man.
Deserve to be strangled just as much as geese.
I really have to ask. Hey, Siri, are swan... No. Damn it, Siri, never mind. I'm just going to Google it. Are pigeons and
doves.
Doves the same thing?
I agree with you, Dave. I'm an equal opportunity strangler. No bird neck is too small.
No bird neck is safe. If you hiss at me and bite me, you will get strangled.
Pigeons and doves belong to the same family of birds, but that family consists of more than 300 species.
There are many kinds, but they are the same shit. Like, truly, there are many kinds of these birds.
Well, here's why you're rocking my world, is because I've thought that in the past. I'm like, man, they kind of look like a... No, that kind of looks like a dove, or that kind of looks like a pigeon.
Yeah.
But I've never thought, like, is it the same thing?
Yeah.
Because there are some, like, there are some animals that we call one thing, but they're really another thing.
Yeah.
Like, I never thought, like, what if they are the same thing?
Yeah. And they apparently make great pets. So everyone, like, thinks they're a nuisance, but, like, people keep them as pets, and I guess they're, like, actually really good bird pets as far as birds go.
Dang.
I have, like, a moral dilemma with actually keeping birds, because, like, their entire existence is to, like, not be in a cage. Like, unlike, I don't know.
What if you...
It's strange. It's strange to have a bird in a cage all the time, because it's just, like, counterintuitive to their being.
What do you think the people who were, like, who started doing carrier pigeon stuff was? Like, they were like, okay, we want to get these birds, and we don't want to keep them in a cage, so let's give them a job.
Dude.
That way they're not just trapped. They also have to work.
That's capitalism right there. Yeah. Breeds innovation.
For sure.
Breeds it.
Literally.
Interesting. This is the HP Podcast. We talk about video games. We have a Patreon over at patreon.com/handsomephantom. We appreciate it. You can sign up for as little as $1 a month. Get ad-free early access to the show. We appreciate that. And also, head over to our Discord. handsomephantom.com/discord. Sign up and become one of our beautiful, handsome people. We would like that. You might already be handsome, but we don't know it until you sign up for the Discord.
That's true.
And if you're not handsome and you want to be, this is a surefire way just to, like, get your foot right in the door.
It says it in the
name.
Without
a lot of prep work, honestly.
Yeah.
Ubisoft Plus. We've been talking about Ubisoft Plus for a while.
Back at it again.
I don't know why we've been talking about it for a while, but this is a little bit older of an article, but I thought it was important because Dave... is the Ubisoft shill here. I mean, Dave likes Ubisoft games.
Pointing and shaking.
Can we talk about that for a second? Because you keep...
We can talk about it.
Talking about me as, like, the Ubisoft guy. I just like Assassin's Creed. I mean, this responsibility should kind of be split between myself and Brandon. Because, like, Brandon's the Far Cry guy.
True.
That is true. Everybody likes The Division.
I don't say it because it's true, though. I say it because it bothers you.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Yeah. But
also, after we're done with this, we got to talk about X Defiant just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You guys know about this.
It looks amazing. I'm
about to be a Ubisoft shill for this game. Okay, go ahead, Ben.
Well, we can definitely wrap that in here. Also, we need to determine for the sake of the show if it's Ubisoft or Ubisoft.
Yes.
Because I have always said Ubisoft, because that's how the first person I ever heard say it said it. And I swear I've heard people who work there say it both ways. So, Ubisoft, say it both ways. The service, a premium tier of Ubisoft's subscription service that allows members to play on multiple platforms through a single subscription, was previously only available on PC and Luna. What? Luna.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
It grants users access to large and growing library of games, including the Assassin's Creed, Division, and Far Cry series, and more. The process of bringing Ubisoft Plus to Xbox was really well managed from beginning to end, and we got a great partner working with Xbox, Director of Subscriptions Philip Tremblay said. We built on the technology we already had that enabled us to work with Amazon Luna, so there was quite a bit ready for the Xbox launch, and we hope players will appreciate the experience we built together. I'm not going to read the full list of games here because there admittedly are a lot, and there's some really good ones for that matter. But the service is going to cost $17.99 US per month.
God damn.
And you get access to all of these games. And in fairness, if you want to play through the Assassin's Creed franchise and you do not want to pay for each game individually, that's a great deal. Because even if it takes you months, it's still cheaper.
Is this console exclusive?
Right now, no. It was already available on PC.
Okay.
And now it's available on console as well, on Xbox specifically.
Okay.
For the same price.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I don't think they're giving a discount for being part of it's not like it's part of Game Pass, like
right.
EA Play.
Right, right.
It's just that it's now on Xboxes.
Okay. Gotcha.
So Dave, will you be playing all the Assassin's Creed games back to back on Ubisoft Plus?
How long would that take? That'd take a long time.
I figured that out one time.
If you were doing like the Ezio stuff, it probably wouldn't be too bad. But the new stuff, oh my god, that would take...
I want to say Ezio stuff, just story would be about...
30 hours?
30 to 35.
Dude, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking 30. Okay.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Completionist, 3,000 hours.
So like, my sister watches a lot of TV, and she's always like... you should watch this show, and you should watch this show. And every time she brings up a show, I usually haven't heard of it. But before I ask her what's it about, I have to ask her, like, what is it on?
Yeah.
And I'm really worried we're getting to that point with video games where it's like, I know you can still buy the game, and I think we're going to continue to consume like that. But, like, what have we got now? We've got EA Play, we've got PlayStation Plus, Xbox Game Pass.
And Xbox Live.
Ubisoft. And as you just said, Ben, like, it's so much more cost effective to in like 99.9% of times to subscribe, play the game you want, and then cancel your subscription. Right. But like, we all know that the whole point of it is that you go in with that expectation, but then you're going to keep your subscription because you find something else you want to like. But like, at the end of the day, we're going to end up spending so much more money. And it, I don't know. I just feel like we're getting to that point where it's all subscription based. And it's getting confusing and it's getting a bit much. I'm not going to be in on this because I've played all these games and the Ubisoft stuff that I want to play. I'm there day one. But yeah, it's a bit much.
Yeah. Brandon.
No, I'm in agreement with Dave. I do find this new trend to be concerning. I feel like whenever subscriptions for things like, TV shows and stuff like that first started, there were a couple big ones. And then within like 3 or 4 years, it's like everyone has a fucking streaming service now.
Yeah.
Like everybody, even companies that have popped up and conceived themselves in the amount of time that this has all started.
FUBU TV.
Right. Sling fucking, you know, whatever.
Well, that was one of the OGs though.
They were early. Sling it right back at me, Ben. No, I will not be partaking. There are not enough Ubisoft games that I would feel like I would get my value.
Yeah.
Wait.
Not enough?
For me.
Okay. Let's say personally, there's a lot of games.
And like you said, I'm sure the list is great. And I'm not poo-pooing it because I think that if there was something that I did want to play, I would give it a go at least for a month because you would save money in the long run. You just got to kind of watch because Dave's right. In the end... if you're diligent about it, you can save money. But if you're just letting it go, that shit just adds up to a full game. And in the end, you're really not owning anything, which is just a trend that continues to happen throughout every facet of my life, as not being able to tangibly own a goddamn thing.
Yeah.
This is cool, I guess. But there's nothing on there that I would rather pay more money than I would be paying for Game Pass, to be completely honest with you. Like, I can find more value in Game Pass, at least right now. So, although I did talk about X Defiant, which I think is going to be a free game. I think.
We'll get there in just a second, but I think I'm going to be number three of the old men yelling at clouds. I know, like, a lot of people are all about subscription services, and so am I. I don't have any issue with them. But yeah, the specific library here is probably, there's just too many other things I already have on services I know I want
right.
to do this one. But I was thinking about it, and if you're someone who is just getting into gaming.
Oh, dude.
This is a library of some of the best games that Ubisoft, I mean, this is some of the best games they've ever made. Oh, obviously.
Absolutely. I mean, and that would go with any subscription service. Like, there yes. certainly is a lot of value, but for someone who has, like, experienced a decent chunk of this, like, if you're new to games, it is probably some of the best time to get in games. You can pay $60, $70, $80 for a year and have fucking hundreds of games throughout multiple services if you really please.
Yeah.
But as a gamer, I'm less concerned with quantity in this and more concerned with like what exactly I'm playing. So if there's not something exactly I'm interested in, then I'm not going to like throw out my net and try and catch everything. So
right. All right, guys, I don't know anything that you're talking about X Defiant. So Dave or whoever.
Yeah, Dave, you want to give it a go? What do you think, man?
I don't even know what the details of the beta are. I've just some of the Call of Duty streamers that I watched have suddenly started playing it this week. I guess the open or closed beta is out right now, but it looks good. It's a Ubisoft themed first person shooter, 6v6. They have like Splinter Cell archetypes and Ghost Recon and stuff like that. The character designs and stuff are a little cartoony for me, but that's okay. It's supposed to have mass appeal. But what I'm really interested in is the shooting looks so tight, and like there's very little jumping and sliding and dolphin diving and all that shit. Like it just looks like simple shooting and like peeking around corners and stuff like that. Maps are cool, and I'm not sure if they're like Ubisoft themed. Like there was one that looked sort of post-apocalyptic and it was on Liberty Island, so I don't know if that was supposed to be like themed after The Division or something, but yeah, I don't know. I almost immediately thought of you, Brandon, so I was curious to see what you thought of what you've seen so far.
No, absolutely. And obviously I've not got my hands on the game either, but I will say that yes, there is no dolphin diving, but one of the biggest standout mechanics in this that people have been complaining about is that games like Call of Duty have botched movement. They've completely changed the way the movement works in the newest one, and a lot of people have expressed great disdain for this new change. And so even if there isn't like wall running or dolphin diving, as you mentioned, there is more or less slide canceling again, and the movement is pretty quick. So the movement is up in this game. It's not quite as manic as some of the older Black Ops and stuff like that, but I think that's a big selling point for a lot of people, is the movement feels similar to Call of Duty 2019 and Warzone 1. The shooting does look very tight. It has a lot of the guns you know and love from all the other games. It really just seems like a lot of the things the Call of Duty community was asking that they wanted, they just kind of directly put into this game, it seems like. So, including and most importantly, maybe for me, is that there's no SBMM. Zero. Mm. Zero, from what I understand. Now, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but this is fantastic because I can just go in and essentially murder children, you know, on the video game, of course.
Thank you for the clarification.
No, you're welcome. But this is good. I think that this has marred a lot of my experience with many modern shooters. It's the constant, and I won't get into SBMM too much, but there is always a bit of randomness to it that was nice. You get a game where you absolutely fucking destroy people, and then you have one where you're absolutely destroyed, and that's just a part of the random multiplayer experience that it makes it fantastic. It doesn't have to be you are perfectly matched with someone who is on your level every single time you play a game, where you feel like you have to sweat your balls off just to be able to make it through. And I feel like some of my Call of Duty experience over the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 years has been like that. So all those things mixed together, it's given me some really good vibes. I was watching streamer TP play it a bit the other day. I was considering...
So is it in a beta right now? Or
I think it is a closed beta. So you can get an invite. You can sign up on their website. Or I think there might be a drop you can get from Twitch. I think from watching people play it. But yeah, I'm going to give it a go. Honestly, I might go home and sign up for it if I can. So looks pretty cool. I'm definitely interested. I agree with Dave. It looked very tight and kind of satisfying in a lot of ways. I don't know how to describe that with the gunplay. So I'm willing to give it a go, honestly.
They just need to work on the name.
Yeah.
X Defiant. Yeah, I mean, it's fine, but like, am I going to think that it's any other game?
Right.
I don't think it's a bad name. I mean, is it certainly not the most like curb appeal? No, but like, it stands out. It's not like, you know, first person shooter simulator.
Right.
I don't know. It's definitely unique. But we'll see how it goes. I never would have considered being interested in a shooter that Ubisoft made that was first person right away. I know that, you know, I had some time with The Division close to launch. I never really grasped that at that game very much, but I'm willing to give it a go. I really am. I did play some of the old
Ghost Recon.
Yeah. I played some of the old Clancy games, and those were really good. So I guess maybe some of that DNA is kind of crossed over in a way, but it looks pretty good as to where it stands. I was seeing some of the progression and some of the attachments and stuff like that. So I agree it is a little cartoony, but hey, everything nowadays ends up being a little bit cartoony, it seems. So
you guys have both mentioned The Division, and I don't actually have this in the news, but I saw that they were going to be doing some kind of showcase soon to talk about the future of The Division.
I'm still passingly interested in that game.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Playing with people, I think, would be like the most ideal, obviously. Any sort of multiplayer shooter experience is better with people you know, but...
Right. Cool. Well, that's Ubisoft Plus impressions on not actually getting to play X Defiant for now. Sticking with the subscription thing real quick, this was... Again, right after we recorded last week, but PlayStation Plus and Extra and Premium catalog was updated. I'm not going to really read over those because we don't care about that on this show. No, wait, that's this entire news story. What am I talking about here? I thought they were also revealing the next PlayStation Plus games, but that doesn't matter. Okay, I will read them then. That's fine. It's actually some really good ones. Kena, Bridge of Spirits, Doom Eternal, Riders Republic, Wolfenstein 2, Slay the Spire, Monster Boy and the Cursed King, I don't know what that one is, The Evil Within, Wolfenstein the Old Blood, Bassmaster Fishing,
yes,
Paradise Killer, don't know what that is. I mean, I literally know what that is, but yeah. Sackboy a Big Adventure, and then on the Premium Classics, just Doom, Doom 2, Doom 64, Doom 3, Dishonored, Definitive Edition. Pretty good lineup for that service, but I'm wondering, why don't they have any of the PS1 classics on there?
Yeah, I don't know. Come on. That's a little strange. The classics catalog has been kind of lacking, in my opinion.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways. Almost since inception. Like, I feel like they came out with a pretty strong library, but it kind of has... not really been keeping up with the classics. I mean, they've added some decent stuff, but
yeah.
Yeah, I guess this is good. I just said I was going to be canceling my premium here, but you know, it's still not Game Pass levels for me, and I don't know that it will be anytime soon, but I guess they're adding Bethesda games to this now, so
yeah, these are old games. I'm sure they somehow still had the license for to do what they wanted with them.
Yeah, I just figured they would just not. I don't know. I just kind of figured they would be like, yeah, no, we're good.
Yeah.
But I guess not.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Okay, with a little more current news here, had a little bit of rumors happening about Rovio, the people who made Angry Birds. Kind of a wild pickup, but Sega has announced a recommended cash offer of 9.25 euros per share to the shareholders and 1.48 euros per option to the option holders of Rovio. This is a lot of corporate speak because it's coming directly from Rovio and their investors page, so I'm not going to go through and read it, but I guess I just want to open up the conversation that the headline here is Sega is acquiring Rovio for 706 million, is that pound, euros? 706 million euros.
Wow.
Dave, Rovio, Angry Birds, did you think it was worth almost $1 billion?
My first inclination was that seems low for Angry Birds.
Okay.
But then again, that's a property that I don't want to say was a flash in the pan, but I think its heyday is come and gone.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a fair comment, but I don't know. I guess it's close. It's I guess the question is, what is Sega going to do with it? I've always liked Angry Birds. Movies were funny. I loved the mobile game when it first came out. Will we finally get the Angry Birds MMO that we've been wanting? Will we see Angry Birds in Sonic? These questions need answering. And dude, you know,
he's dead.
Oh, fuck
Sonic
yeah.
just has like a pet Angry Bird with him.
Dude, the Angry Bird killed him.
Oh no!
Oh my god! They're trying to lower the market cap.
Yeah, I certainly didn't see this coming. In fact, if I'm honest, I'd forgotten about Angry Birds because again,
I think
they've kind of been underutilized. But yeah,
the
I
birds?
Mean, let's the birds specifically. Let's see what happens with them. Yeah, it's a weird one. God, it's weird.
God damn it! We're talking about birds again.
Yeah.
They're angry. This is an interesting move. I agree with Dave. I feel like they've been out of relevant culture for a little bit now. Not to say they weren't for many, many, many years, but when did the Angry Birds movie come out?
I don't know, but
Jesus
that was years
Christ.
After the game came out.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. It's not something I've thought about for a while.
Yeah.
And so to have such, which seems like a big evaluation, I mean, maybe not. Maybe that's why they're buying it up. Maybe it's cheap now that it's going down.
That's true. It's probably worth less now than it was, I don't know, 6 or 8 years
yeah.
ago. I don't know. I didn't exactly
yeah.
follow their stock holdings.
Hard to say, but definitely an interesting pickup. Not quite Bethesda level or active.
Yeah.
Not quite that big, but
well,
certainly notable.
Interestingly.
By many means.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good, dude.
Interestingly, Rovio has made all sorts of Angry Birds games, of course. And it's not just Angry Birds. Like, they did... Let's see here. Let me just look. They did... Holy cow. They've been around since 2009. They did Angry Birds, of course. They did Angry Birds Journey. Angry Birds Classic. Angry Birds 2. Angry Birds Dream Blast. Angry Birds Friends.
Jesus.
Which I think is a... It's a tournament game, apparently. Angry Birds Reloaded. I think a lot of these are just... We made changes to Angry Birds, and we figured... It's like WoW Classic. This is way different than it used to be. Come experience the original. Like, that's all.
Please pay.
Angry Birds Match. Angry Birds Pop. And they've done, like, obviously all sorts of Angry Birds packs with, like, Star Wars and this IP and that IP and whatever. But they've also done Darkfire Heroes, Small Town Murders... And Sugar Blast, three different games that they've done or IP. I don't know anything about those. And in fairness, I'm not an enthusiastic mobile gamer. I'll play mobile games, but it's not because I'm like enthusiastic about them. So maybe they're huge and I don't know it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Dave, what could Sega do with them? Do they keep them as a mobile Angry Birds studio? Or do they say, hey, here's some of our biggest IP. Make a cool mobile game because you're good at that.
The question is, who are they going to go after? Because I feel like the kids who went nuts for Angry Birds, granted, I loved Angry Birds when I was in my early 20s, but the kids who really kind of pumped attention and money into it fell off it because of Minecraft. So the question is like, do you go back to those kids who are now, you know, pushing their early teens, or do you try and kind of recapture... that younger age demographic just starting to discover video games? I think they're probably better off sticking with simple kid-friendly mobile and capture a new generation, in which case I think I don't know if Sega's gonna pull a whole lot of money into this, but maybe just stick with simple mobile, maybe stick with what worked for them, which is just kind of like the base Angry Birds stuff. I really don't see them going too crazy with it. I don't really see Sega producing a movie again or anything, or like TV, anything like that. I think they're going to stick with, you know, simple, by-the-numbers mobile games.
Yeah. Although you never know. I mean, look at the success Nintendo has had in the box office. Even these past couple weeks, maybe they saw that an Angry Birds movie hasn't come out in a while, and they saw 550 million worldwide box office sales.
Yeah.
And they said,
opening weekend, yeah.
And they said, well, you know, yeah, exactly. And they said, hey, maybe we need to get in on that. They already helped. Now, they didn't make the movie. I get that. At least, I don't think they did.
They certainly had a heavy hand in that.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So yeah. That, you know, that's kind of what I'm saying. You never know, because they already have something that's established. So I do think what Dave said is most likely. It's very possible that we're seeing, and the same thing that we've seen from a lot of other companies is trying to get into the mobile space more heavily. And when you think of earlier, very popular games on iPhones.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, that's one of the ones that comes to mind. So it's very possible that this is a mobile play.
I would imagine that IP and all the IPs that they licensed also go to Sega, like the rights to use the licenses the licenses they got. But isn't there a lot of Angry Birds stuff on like streaming? It's funny though, because real quick, the video game movies in theaters, like, I can understand going to see Sonic. Surely I get going to see Mario. But even when I loved the game Angry Birds, like, it was the only mobile game we knew, really.
Right.
I was, like, so totally uninterested in an Angry Birds movie. I'm like, who cares? Yeah.
Well, I think that's probably because it's not for people our age.
Well, I'm saying even back then.
No.
Yeah. Well, even, but you're right. You're
even
right.
Even then, you know, it's for, like,
kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But so. I guess what I was going to say is they have a lot of IP as well in spaces that are not just video games. And so does Sega, obviously. So could be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what they do. I really think they're going to harness their mobile prowess to do more stuff with Sega's IP.
Yeah.
I think will be the
believe
case.
It. Yeah. Seems like that's what everyone's doing nowadays.
Dave, I know you're particularly interested in this. Pokemon Go maker Niantic Labs specifically, introducing Monster Hunter Now. Niantic and Capcom team up to bring Monster Hunter into the real world September 2023. It's a mobile game launching this September that brings exciting experience of Monster Hunter to streets, parks, and neighborhoods around the world. Monster Hunter Now will be distributed by Niantic and licensed by Capcom. The global launch is scheduled for September of this year, and the game will be available on the App Store and Google Play. Interested players can sign up now at monsterhunternow.com for a chance to be selected for an upcoming closed beta test of the game. For anyone who's dreamed of hunting monsters in the real world, Monster Hunter Now brings that fantasy to life. Taking the role of a hunter, players will venture forth and team up with fellow players in order to take down the fiercest monsters in the world, etc., etc., etc. So Dave, I mentioned this to you specifically because you said you signed up, but Brandon, you're also a huge Monster Hunter fan, so I'm going to get you to weigh in, but Dave, what do you think about Pokemon Go monster hunting?
I love this. When Pokemon Go came out, I checked it out, and I thought it was cool. I didn't stick with it because my Pokemon days had come and gone, but still being a huge Monster Hunter fan, I think this is really, really cool. I don't fully understand how it will work. I assume it will be something like you're walking around with your phone in AR, and there's like a Rathalos like at a park or like a Kezu or something in like a shopping mall. And I guess if you get like close to it, then you engage in some sort of fight, because like in the trailer they released, the fights clearly looked like they weren't in AR, but they were actually taking place just like, I guess that's how Pokemon Go works. But in any case, it's cool. I love Monster Hunter. I like this idea of kind of, you know, fighting these monsters out in the wild and stuff like that. So I think this is really intriguing, and I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with it. As you said, Ben, I did sign up for the beta, so I hope I get an invite and I can tell you guys about it soon. But yeah, this looks really, really cool.
Now, Brandon, you know, you and I, we're not big fans of leaving our houses if we don't have to.
No, hell no.
But I know that my brother-in-law has been playing Pokemon Go since it came out.
Absolutely.
And he has told me like they've made it, especially during pandemic times, they made it a lot easier to play at home. And I wonder if that's something that Monster Hunter is going to learn from the get-go, or like they already know that the, like, if you don't make it so that people have to go right. to a city or something to be able right. to play this game, it'll do a lot better.
Yeah, that was one of my biggest complaints is I, you know, for a long time I didn't live in a city.
Right.
And so it was kind of difficult to play Pokemon Go. But I do think this is a really cool idea. I'm a big fan of Monster Hunter, even if it's the more recent iterations of Monster Hunter. I am a fan of the series. My wonder about this entire thing, though, is that as cool as it would be to find a Rathalos in the mall, it's not Pikachu.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't know how to put this, but, like, the monsters in Monster Hunter are legendary. There's some of them that, like, span most of the games, from what I understand. I just don't know. Maybe I'm out of touch because I'm a more recent Monster Hunter fan, but I just feel like maybe, well, Dave's super excited for it. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess, like, it was more fun for me because I, like, actually was interested in catching the Pokemon, like, and I guess I just wouldn't be as... Like, I'm interested in battling them, like, hitting them with a sword. I don't know.
But imagine... So, imagine if the draw... So, Pokemon Go is the draw of collecting Pokemon. What if the draw for Monster Hunter was more loot-based? And the reason why you want to go to the park and fight that Rathalos or whatever it is to get that gear that it drops so you can craft its armor or something. Again, we don't have a whole lot of details on this, but that was my first thought, is like that could be a really cool draw, is like pulling that loot, that addictive looting loop into that AR mobile experience.
Right. Yeah. No, I could see it. I'm interested in learning more. Definitely because I still am you know, a fan of the Monster Hunter series. But yeah, right away I thought like I'm not as interested in like seeing that monster as I would be seeing a Pikachu, but I guess that's just my own personal preference. So
yeah.
I'm interested in seeing more. I think that a different angle, like Dave's mentioning, would really be awesome. Like being able to craft armor for your trainer, essentially, if we're going to compare it to Pokemon Go, that would be super cool. Kind of like mirror the game a little bit. You know, you catch 5 Rathalos and then you can get a helmet and walk around and battle with your friends with that helmet on. I could see some cool applications. It's definitely not something I would have expected, but certainly cool nonetheless. So I guess we'll see. They know how to do it. If it's any company, they know how to do it. So,
yeah.
You know, it's definitely in good hands. So,
Rocksteady has delayed the release of Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League until February 2nd, 2024.
Yikes.
Let's see. According to their Twitter, they said, "We have made the tough but necessary decision to take the time needed to work on getting the game to be the best quality experience for players. Thank you to our amazing community for the continued support, patience, and understanding. There is much more to share in the months ahead, and we look forward to seeing you in this Metropolis next year." So I know this is a few days old at this point, and it will be even older by the time the episode comes out, but we have talked about this game, and I thought it was important to mention. Here's the thing. The real part of the conversation I want to have is, this game was weeks away from coming out.
Yeah.
And at that stage in development, unless this game is just buggy as hell and it was going to get delayed either way.
That's not it.
What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Even by February and realistically by January to get the game gold.
Crunch.
To make this game better.
Yeah,
like crunch. I shouldn't say better. They're clearly trying to make it to react to some of the reactions from the recent state of play. So I don't know. Brandon, do you have any ideas? What do you think?
I don't know, man. I was actually pretty hot on this game. I thought the original trailer that we had seen, was that earlier last year, looked really cool. And then after seeing more in-depth gameplay, I was kind of perplexed, as I talked about on the podcast. So I'm even more concerned the fact that it was delayed for a while and they're like, you know, we'll let you know. And now it's delayed to next year. I don't know. It's very strange. I agree with you mostly. I don't know that there is like huge changes. And I feel like that's a lot of the backlash was just like wanting things to be vastly different. At least some of my criticism was. So it's not looking good, and I kind of feel for Rocksteady. I feel like they were probably really excited for this last showcase of their game, and it just absolutely got ran through the mud, and even on some of the biggest platforms in the world. So, I don't know. It's kind of concerning as a whole, and I guess it's better to delay it than put out a shit game, as we've talked about a lot of times, but
yeah,
it's not going to be good either way, you know, unless you're delaying it a whole year and making huge changes. I don't know how much you're going to be able to change and make meaningful impact on the game in that amount of time. So
yeah, Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the new piece of information here is the date, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and it was the same thing where it's like, clearly the backlash around this game came from the fact that people could clearly see that this was a game built around a battle pass, and they could maybe soften some of the features a bit and add some more collecting and stuff, and there will be little things here and there, but it's going to be a similar situation to what Arkham Knights was, where it's like, that was a game that clearly had a pivoted development because they saw how people reacted to Avengers, and it just doesn't work. So this is going to be I'm out on this, and we'll always have Guardians of the Galaxy, so just remember
yeah.
that.
Yeah, we really will, and we probably will never get another one, and that's the saddest part of all this.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The game we weren't even talking about. That is the saddest part, Ben.
Yeah, it is true.
Truly the saddest part.
Yeah. All right. I have two more stories here for us. Nintendo wins. That should just be the evergreen title for everything.
Dude, fuck it.
Nintendo wins court battle against site used to pirate its games. This comes from gamesindustry.biz. It says, D-Storage ordered to pay platform holder £467,750, but they can appeal the decision. The Paris Court of Appeals has sided with Nintendo in a dispute with share hosting website operator DStorage. Nintendo released a statement saying the court ruled DStorage was liable for failing to remove or block access to pirated copies of Nintendo games distributed via file hosting website OneFitcher. It doesn't matter. The platform holder had previously demanded DStorage take down any unauthorized Nintendo games stored on its site. When this was not done, the company took legal action with the Paris Judicial Court, giving the same verdict in May 2021. The Court of Appeals has now ordered them to pay £442,750. That's not pounds. That's euros. Every time I look at a number or a denomination that's not a dollar, I'm like, what? What is this? Is this new? Did they just come up with this?
Foreign money.
To Nintendo in compensation, as well as 25,000 euros to cover legal fees, DStorage has the option to appeal against the decision. Of course, Nintendo is declaring this as a victory, etc.
My.
Dave, before Brandon goes off on Nintendo, how do you feel?
That doesn't seem like a lot of money for Nintendo going. Can you read that number again? Pounds, euros, or
probably
can
not.
You read it? Can you read it in yen for me, please?
It's 423,000 somethings.
That doesn't seem like a lot for pirating Nintendo's games and being taken to a court of appeals for it. Maybe Nintendo went soft on them. Maybe this is a warning shot saying if anybody else wants to pull this shit, this is what's going to happen to you and we'll come at you much worse. But yeah, half a million euros or pounds or whatever it is, it doesn't seem like a lot from Nintendo. But
I almost feel like it's one of those situations where they have to defend it, and then they're at the mercy of the court for the amount.
Right, right. In any case, good for those people I would be scared shitless of Nintendo. Like, Microsoft, Sony are little daisies in this garden, but Nintendo yeah. are the geese of the gaming industry, and they will fucking
God,
kill
I
you.
So, strangle them.
Yeah, over to you, Brandon. Tell me about choking Nintendo.
No, dude, my hate boner somehow is is growing every day for this company. It's ripping through the seams, so to speak. Fuck Nintendo. I don't give a fuck about this court case. I want to talk about something else, Nintendo. They are striking videos, and they've always been striking Nintendo videos, but they're striking videos that are completely okay by their terms of service, indiscriminately. It's happening more and more. Vanilla versions of games, modded versions of games that still are on their TOS, like, completely fine. They're, like, almost threatening to get people's channels down on YouTube, completely demonetizing some of their stuff. And I'm talking about people that have, like, millions of subscribers.
Right.
Like, just... I have been so aggravated with them, more than normal, if that's even possible.
Yeah.
So to hear them winning, it really just is awful. I will agree with Dave. They are vicious, vicious legal bitches, in all sense of the word. They are so out of touch with reality. They have this malicious intent to control every single narrative. Now, this is clearly something bad. Pirating games is bad and is legally and morally apprehensible by all means. You know, not to say I wouldn't do it a time or two. You know, for legal reasons, this is a joke, Nintendo.
Yeah.
But even outside of that, I never want to see them winning because they are completely just geezerly in all senses of the word. And
it's hard to have any sympathy for them when they're dicks everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And thank you for putting that better, Ben, because that's really what I'm trying to convey, is that they are so fucking out of touch with the entire internet. Like, it's awful. It's heinous. Go watch... Moist Critical just did a video about Nintendo that really got me fired up. Go watch that. He's talking about some of the issues they're having with Nintendo on YouTube. And it's just, I knew it was bad because we've tried to put up things in the early days of some of the shows that we had before of Nintendo stuff.
And it's not worth covering Nintendo.
Instantly gets taken down. But when you're striking things that are just vanilla, like, hey, this is how you play this game. If you're interested to learn how to do these challenges, like just helping people experience, like nothing strange at all. Like the most, I don't know. They are
a tutorial.
They are out of fucking touch.
Yeah.
And honestly, after seeing how bad things have got, it's made me a little apprehensible about even buying Tears of the Kingdom. I'm going to be honest, boys.
Yeah.
I'm considering not buying it just out of literal principle, because even though I may like the game, it's just, I'm finding it difficult to continue to support this company in so many ways. And I think that's very apparent by how I talk about it. So I don't know. I probably will be a shill and buy it if I know myself. The FOMO will kick in, but it's not because I'm Nintendo. It's because of the FOMO.
I have almost no scruples when it comes to that kind of stuff. Like, Stalin could make a video game, and if it's really good, I probably still want to play it.
Fair enough.
Maybe not actually Stalin.
Fair enough.
But like, I have a very strong, like, you know, I'm not buying this or that product. But when it comes to games, I'm like, well, is it good? Is it pretty good? I'm going to play it. But that doesn't mean I think you shouldn't not buy it.
Yeah.
It just means that I'm not strong enough.
Yeah. I just hate them. And if I knew that me not buying it would mean anything, no, it doesn't mean anything. I should just buy it. That's the saddest part. And that's what I, you know, is just very upsetting in my mind, is that it doesn't really matter because they're a large dickheaded corporate giant.
You're going to go see the Mario movie too, aren't you?
Except for Reggie. It's not Reggie's fault.
Well, he's not even there anymore.
I don't care. He's always there.
Yeah.
Reggie, it doesn't matter how long he's gone. Reggie's body is ready.
His body is ready.
And that was a different time in Nintendo.
That's true. I was watching a bunch of old E3 clips.
Yeah.
Because I did a video on the history of PlayStation, essentially. And I went through and watched like a bunch of old E3 press conferences. Man, some of the Reggie press conferences are so good.
I'm going to come back next year and I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Do you know that one? Yeah. Oh, dude, and he's so bad at Smash, it was hilarious that he said that.
According to WCCF Tech, today, this is yesterday, Warner Brothers suddenly announced Harry Potter Quidditch Champions, a fast-paced multiplayer game dedicated to the fictional sport beloved by all the fans of J.K. Rowling's fantasy universe. The game that many fans have longed for years has been developed in stealth mode for the past several years by Unbroken Studio, a Los Angeles-based team of veterans who previously worked on the Battle Royale game Fractured Lands, and they co-developed Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League for PC and consoles. Quidditch Champions will begin limited playtesting this weekend, April 21st and 22nd. Signups are available on the official website. The game will allow the creation of custom players, and you will be able to play with your friends online, as you'd expect. Not much has been shared as far as gameplay mechanics, but the Discord channel of Quidditch Champions does mention specific player roles. Of course, there's the Chaser, the Beater, the Keeper, the Seeker, etc. Dave, I think we have our answer now. Everybody wanted Quidditch out of Hogwarts Legacy. And of course, you know, this isn't Quidditch inside of Hogwarts Legacy. This is a separate purchase, presumably. But it, they knew there would be a huge desire for more Harry Potter stuff, and specifically Quidditch. What do you think about Quidditch Champions?
Yeah, I mean, this is just looking at the game itself, I think this is great. I would love to play a game dedicated to Quidditch, and that's what we got here. It sounds like it's going to be a quality product. At the end of the day, I don't think Hogwarts Legacy needed Quidditch, because the game did perfectly well without it and hasn't even launched on last generation yet, which is where all the install base is. So yeah, I mean, it would have been nice to get a little bit more value out of Hogwarts Legacy, but at the end of the day, I wouldn't, if I paid full price for that game, I wouldn't feel any less, you know, like I got slighted because it didn't have Quidditch. But I don't know, I guess this all kind of falls under the same umbrella of Portkey Games now. I know it's, you know, with WB, but as you kind of mentioned there, Ben, like, this had been developed in stealth mode, and there's no telling which project started first, so it's entirely possible that Quidditch could have been in development before Hogwarts Legacy, and that's why maybe they kept it out. But yeah, you're right, this is our answer. WB has a chance to get us to buy two separate games instead of one game. So it's a good business decision, and we're idiots and we'll buy both. But yeah, I'm really excited to see what this kind of turns out to be, and how they work in like multiplayer and stuff like that. And clearly this isn't going to be in like the same time frame as Hogwarts Legacy, but this is going to be more in the present day with Harry Potter. So I'm going to be curious to see how they weave that into it. But I'm excited for this. I've been waiting for a good Quidditch game for a long time.
Brandon, I think I said back when we were talking about the idea of Quidditch and Hogwarts Legacy that I felt like they either needed to totally instance the Quidditch games out or just create a separate game.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing.
That's what they did.
They listened.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, they heard the show and they were like, let's do it. And now it's ready.
That's right.
That's how it works.
this is cool, I guess. I don't know.
That's all you have to say?
No, I mean, I don't know. I just hope it isn't $60. It's probably going to be $60, though. So I wonder how truly flushed out this sort of thing can be. Part of me thinks it can't be a full game. I feel like it would make sense for it to be like a $40 game mm-hmm. with cosmetics attached.
Yeah.
I guess sports games are $60.
Yeah, but they usually are annualized and drop in price after the first week.
Yeah. So. I don't know. We'll see. I guess this is okay. I really do think it could have been added on. It wasn't necessary whatsoever to add it to Legacy, but yeah, this is cool. It's what everyone wanted, so just what everyone's getting. So
I did not expect you to not care about this.
Yeah.
I expected you to be enthusiastic.
Yeah, I mean, once I see more about it, if it looks cool, I'll probably play it, just because generally, even though I don't play sports games, I do enjoy playing sports games mostly. Like,
yeah.
You know, Rocket League is super dope. I loved Lucio Ball when it was in Overwatch. I even played Madden back in the day.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like, spending any money on it necessarily. But right. If it's really cool and it looks awesome, you know, I might give it a go. But
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see.
It'll be interesting because I'm sure coming off the steam of Hogwarts Legacy and then the anticipation of the new series and the fact that everybody for all time loves the Harry Potter universe, I'm sure it will do well. So we'll see how it goes. Let's get into what we've been playing. For me, I really haven't been playing anything this week. I was trying to think earlier, like, have I played anything? I have been playing things, but just to be clear, but I haven't been playing anything new that I haven't talked about. So a little bit of Subnautica, not as much as I would like, a little bit of Sea of Thieves, but really, my time has been spent in games I've already been playing, except for one thing, and that is Loop Hero, which I also already played years ago, but I was just looking for something kind of mindless to play. It is far from mindless, but it is a little more mindless than some of the games because it's an auto-player game. And popped that on and probably have put 4 or 5 hours in it over the week. And I just, it's fun. I don't care at all about the story. I just like seeing how far I can go in the game and building up and how many enemies I can have coming at me without dying. And that's a lot of fun. But we've talked a lot about Loop Hero. Obviously, it's been out for years at this point, so I don't want to belabor that point. But I have not talked, or I have not played a whole lot new or really interesting, I suppose.
Yeah.
Bando, what about you?
Yeah, I haven't played much either. Played some Subnautica. I played that a couple years back on PlayStation and PlayStation 5 whenever I got the patch. Really, really just have a deep love for this game. Haven't really dabbled much with Below Zero. I'm going to touch on it since we're on the subject, but really cool to play on PC. Doesn't look much better, runs a lot better.
Yeah.
But it runs pretty solid on console, to be honest with you, so it didn't feel like that much of a notable upgrade. It's just better to play on the peripherals. The modding's pretty cool.
I will say I'm really pissed about the modding, because I have this game on Epic because it was free.
Yeah.
And there is a way you can start up a server and play with people on other platforms, and you were going to get it on Steam because you didn't have it on PC yet. I already had it, but the mod, for whatever reason, the last update broke it. So I just went ahead and bought it on CD Keys for $15.
Dude, isn't it Epic's fault, though, the launcher?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, really?
No, okay. It's that you can roll back games to a prior state on Steam, but you can't on Epic. So I guess you could say it's Epic's fault.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But used to, there were like 3 or 4 platforms you could play it on, and now it's literally only Steam that has that capability. So I don't know that that is a... Not to derail this into an Epic Game Store conversation, but that's not a feature many people use. A very small percentage of people use the feature to roll back a game to a worse state.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah. I can't be upset about that.
Yeah. But yeah, that's been super cool playing it in a different way. Playing a game that wasn't intended to be multiplayer. Multiplayer has been interesting.
Yeah.
It's definitely offered some really neat experiences and has some drawbacks, but it's really cool that, you know, people kind of made it work in general.
Sure.
Still playing GT on and off, still working on all the license tests and stuff. So honestly, not a bunch. I keep falling asleep on the couch.
Oh yeah.
yeah. I keep having that problem. Last night I slept until about 4:50 a.m. I think was when I looked at my phone and was like, where the fuck am I? I just rose from the couch. It's like almost light out and I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah.
My dog was very confused. But yeah, honestly, that's about it. Oh, and I played a little bit more Vampire Survivor, which is actually really good. I think I'm going to stick with that. It's kind of something I pop into in and out.
Me too.
You know, just fuck around for 10, 15 minutes while something else is downloading. And it's always enjoyable. That game's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to belabor on that because obviously everyone knows the value you get there and it's critically acclaimed. So good stuff, though. What about you, Dave? You've been playing the games?
The Vidya games, nothing new, nothing interesting. Unfortunately, I've put my head down and I'm burning through Ghost of Tsushima as fast as I can. Again, the goal is to get that platinum done by the time we get to the beginning of May, because I want to play Redfall. As of now, I want to play Redfall. That could change. I finished the campaign and all of the companion side missions, so I'm officially in the cleanup part of the platinum, which is nice because I've just played 30 hours and had virtually no trophies pop. So now that trophies are starting to pop, it feels a little bit more rewarding. So yeah, that's about it for me.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a kind of a slow week gaming wise for all of us, but I still have fun playing old games. That's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the show. That's all we got. Don't forget about the Patreon. Don't forget about the Discord. Don't forget about us, because we'll be very sad. Pet your dog. Kiss your wife. Hug your friends. Have a good week. that's just what I said. Goodbye. The HP Podcast is brought to you by our patrons over at patreon.com/handsomephantom. Thanks to our producers, Grabalicious, Christian Snow, Rainick, Chris Bylock, Derek O, Nuke Dukem, Brian Parrott, H-Trons, Maurice Bays, Passive Pixels Edwin Castillo, Boots, Poot, Jared, Josh Cummings, Edward Walton, Charles Peterson, Toby Ryland, Wormhats.